today on Working in the Suburbs.
Brando was in The Godfather with Diane Keaton. Diane Keaton was in Annie Hall with Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken was in Catch Me If You Can with Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks was in Apollo 13 with Hollywood legend
Scott Parks.
Hey everybody, it's Patrick here, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Rockin' the Suburbs podcast. And today I'm joined by a good friend and frequent voice that you've heard on this program, Scott Parks. Scott, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you, Patrick?
I'm doing well. Thank you, as always, for taking time to out of your busy schedule to chat. I appreciate
this. Never a problem.
I'm excited about this idea. And when we first started discussing it, and I'll let you give the background, but I want to tell people when we first started discussing it, I was like, yeah, this seems easy enough. Like, this will be cool. I'll be totally into this. But then as I began to sit down and actually think my way through it, I started really, really struggling. And I want to try to explain kind of what this concept and idea is for people. Maybe most people have a much easier time getting it than me. I don't know. But it's a really neat idea. And I think, right, did it kind of evolve out of your suburbs radio show to begin with?
Yeah, it did. It did. So, I've got a show on Rockin' the Suburbs Radio that, you know, anybody that's listening to this is aware of that channel, but they might not be aware that I rethemed my my show from my collection to the Pollard Power Hour.
That's right.
So it's all things Robert Pollard. And I had an idea, you know, everybody's heard of 6 degrees of separation where, you know, any person can be connected to another person in the world, in history, by 6 different people or 6 different moves. And then there's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, where, you know, people say you can connect any movie star or director to Kevin Bacon in 6 different moves. Well, I started thinking about Robert Pollard and the sheer number of releases that he has released over, you know, the last 35 years, and that I pretty much think I can probably connect almost any artist to Robert Pollard, and I'm making it harder for myself. I'm doing 5 degrees and 5 moves because of the GBV song 5 degrees on the Inside. So that's actually where the idea came from. I'm listening to that song and I'm like, 5 degrees. And I am not a normal human being. My brain does not work the way most people's does. And I link things together. And so I figured I would do 5 degrees of Robert Pollard. And it's going to be a feature that I'm going to have on my show from time to time, probably at least once a month, maybe twice a month, but we'll see. So, you know, I was talking to you about this and you're like, you know, that would be a really great idea to do a podcast episode about, but not just Robert Pollard. Let's see if we can maybe pick another band or have other people pick bands for us.
Yep.
And then we see if we can link that band to another randomly generated band name in 5 steps or fewer. So that's kind of what it is. So it's like 5 degrees of dot, dot, dot.
Right.
And we can see if we can do this with any band.
Well, I guess the big question in my mind is when let's say you have this, you know, laid out in front of you, and let's say just, you know, for our purposes here to explain this, that you're using Pollard.
Yes.
How do you begin? What is the first step when you put this down, and how do you take it from there?
Well, I think everybody's probably seen A Beautiful Mind, or, you know, that movie, and there's the, you know, the stuff floating around in space. No, I'm just kidding, but I mean, that's kind of how my brain works. I start thinking about bands that I know have members in them that Pollard has played with,
okay,
or, you know, has had somebody produce his album. I use Discogs a lot,
okay,
because you get basically liner notes. It's like almost the exact liner notes that you would get,
yeah,
on the record, but in a digital format.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia, the source of all human knowledge, is obviously a huge source of information, mm-hmm, when it comes to these links. And I just kind of try to make my way to it. So I'm looking at personnel on all albums. So I'm not usually starting with Pollard per se. I'm starting with another band that I think I can link to him in at least one or two moves.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at personnel on records, looking at who produced the album, and I've just been able to make it work. You know, my first 5 degrees of Robert Pollard show, it was unfortunately the day that we found out that Mimi Parker from Low had,
yes,
passed away,
mm-hmm,
early that morning or late the night before. And I found that out. And within 15 minutes, I was able to link Low to Robert Pollard. I did this literally 20 minutes before my show was about,
wow,
to air.
Wow.
And I had it there. But I actually already had two of the steps because of another one that I was working on.
Oh, so okay.
Once you start digging into liner notes and you start digging into all of these, the people that have worked on albums, you see that it really is such a small world when it comes to music.
Right, right. And so explain a little bit what constitutes a move or what actually is a step.
Yeah. So again, I'm the one that's come up with the rules per se,
that's
in
right,
quotation marks. In my mind, I was originally going to maybe have it be as tenuous as they shared a record label, but
oh,
I think that is probably a little bit too easy, because you could link somebody to Pollard in one step,
right,
just because they both released something on Matador.
Right.
So
right.
I kind of walked back on that. So my moves that I consider to be a valid degree, a valid connection, would be if someone played on a record with an artist.
Okay.
If obviously someone is in the band, you know, obviously that's part of being on the same record. And if someone produced or mixed, so the mixing engineer or the producer of the song/album, I consider them to be part of the creative team per se, because, you know, a producer and even a mixing engineer, they tend to have a little bit of say on what the final product is going to sound like. They might not have written the music. They might not have, you know, played any instrument, but they do usually have a little bit of say. Let's do it this way. Let's do it that way. Let's, you know, bring the instrument, this instrument up, this instrument down. So they're part of the creative process. So basically anyone that's part of the creative process of making an album or making a song, I would consider to be a valid connection between one artist to another.
Okay, great. And I think your point is really well made. I mean, take Steve Albini, for example. You know if he's produced a record because of the way the drums sound, right? Or
exactly
the way the guitar sound. Yeah.
Well, and Steve Albini, he was my link from Low to Pollard. He was the first link. So I can go through what my first
that
first one on my show was. So I started the show off with the song Sunflower, which was from Low's album Things We Lost in the Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Albini produced that record. It's an amazing record. It's a heartbreaking song, especially, you know, with
absolutely
with the recent news.
Yeah.
So I started with Sunflower, and I knew Steve Albini had produced that. So you start looking, what else has Steve Albini produced? Well, Steve Albini produced Surferosa from the from the Pixies. So who else is in the Pixies? Kim Deal.
Yes, Kim Deal.
Well, Kim Deal and Robert Pollard performed Love Hurts for the soundtrack for Love in a 45 back in 1994, I think it was. So I got from Lowe to Robert Pollard in three steps.
Amazing.
Literally just because of Steve Albini producing those two those two records. Wow. I also could have used Kim Deal because she produced a couple of GBV songs.
That's right. So, she did, yeah.
You know, so it's just I do not think like a normal human being. I have to link everything together. And it's I've had a blast. I've actually successfully linked, I think it's 10 artists to Pollard. I am... 10 for 10. So anybody that's given me an artist, I've been able to successfully put those two together, put the links together with five or fewer steps, 10 out of 10 times so far.
That's incredible. And it's so fun too, you know, when you start thinking about it and think about, just as you said, the possible ways you could do it. Now, obviously, if, you know, somebody is linked so closely, like, you know, it's not possible to actually have a link if you're trying to say link, let's say, Tommy Keane to Robert Pollard, right? Because they collaborated together. So linking them, they're already linked, right? In that sense, there's no kind of steps between them, right?
Right, exactly. So like if somebody would tell me Tommy Keane, I'm like, I've already got it. Like that's already done. So I'm going to use people like Tommy Keane, people like John Mullen and Chris Lucerinco, who are in Boston Spaceships, who also then have played, they're in Eyelids together. Yep. And Eyelids have played with Peter Buck and Scott McCoy and all kinds of people. So again, you start looking at these links between bands. And again, like I said, you realize you don't understand how small of a world, especially indie rock, there's a lot of bands that it's kind of incestuous, where they all play together, they all produce each other's records, they all help each other out, and it's just really fun. I've had a great time.
You know, it's curious, as we started talking about this topic, I was thinking about just what you just said, the way that worked in the DC punk scene, and everybody produced kind of everybody else's record. Like if you use Don Zientara, who's been on this podcast before, you know, who produced so many Discord records, you know, you'd have incredible links. But also, conversely, what I think is really interesting about Pollard, for example, is guess what? There's a strong link from Pollard to Rick Ocasek. And then suddenly you can take Rick Ocasek all kinds of different places, right?
Exactly.
You know, artists that you wouldn't necessarily consider to be in GBV's orbit, you know, because they might be, I don't know, you know, a pop band, you know, the Thompson Twins or something you could eventually get to. Yeah.
It's really fun. It's really fascinating for, you know, this project that I've kind of gone on. You know, I've asked several people to give me artists, and it's just so fun. And sometimes it's really hard. Like you said, we were talking about this, and we have a band that we've been talking about that maybe could be episode one.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll say what it might be at the end of this episode, but I know you were having some difficulties, and because I've been kind of in this, I was able to connect two different bands to this band.
You were, yeah.
And you would not have ever thought.
I never would have seen the
you
path.
You could have gone between one of these bands to the other one. So
let me ask you, when you were creating a playlist or doing it for radio, when, let's say, you have an album that's produced by Steve Albini or whoever, and the whole album sort of qualifies as a link, how do you then choose what song you're going to play? Do you just pick a favorite or one you like, or how do you do that?
Well, it just depends. In the case of the Pixies song, I picked that one because Kim Deal was a co-writer on that song. Okay. So I do try to pick a song that even has a stronger link than just that person just so happens to be on the record.
Right.
Now, that isn't always the case. So yeah. In my first episode, and if anybody's interested in listening to the first episode of 5 Degrees of Robert Pollard, you can find it on Mixcloud. Just look for Rock in the Suburbs Radio on Mixcloud, and my show is called the Pollard Power Hour. And it was episode 2, I believe.
Okay.
So I think that aired, I can't remember. I don't know when this is going to air, but just look up Pollard Power Hour. They're only hour long, and you'll be able to find it. But you know, if you want to listen to that, go ahead and listen to that. But on that same episode, I was able to link The Fall to Robert Pollard, and I did that in 4 moves. And you said, you know, why did I pick a certain song? Well, there was only one Fall song that I could find that I could easily get a link between, and that was the song Calendar. And that song was co-written by Damon Goff from Badly Drawn Boy, and he also played guitars on it. And then I was able to go to Badly Drawn Boy. And from Badly Drawn Boy, I was able to go to Mike City Sons, because they were both produced by the same producer, and his name is failing me right now. And Mike City Sons from Heat Miser was produced, again, by the same person who produced Have You Fed the Fish from Badly Drawn Boy, but was also co-produced by Rob Schnapp, who produced Isolation Drills from Guided by Voices.
Wow, amazing. Amazing. So, I love that.
And there's another link between Heat Miser and Guided by Voices, and it's Elliot Smith.
Yes,
so
that's right.
Elliot Smith played a piano on the song How's My Drinking? And so I was able to go, if you can believe this, and listen to the episode, I was able to go from Kanye West to Robert Pollard in 3 steps.
Wow.
By using John Bryan, who produced the song Celebration from Kanye West's Late Registration.
Uh-huh.
He also produced the song True Love that Elliot Smith recorded before his death. I think it was in 2001. Never came out.
Right.
It did come out later on a soundtrack to a documentary about him called Heaven Adores You.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Elliot Smith played on How's My Drinking from Guided by Voices.
Amazing. That's so just amazing.
It's just, it's super fun. I love it.
Yeah. It's fun just to talk about it and listen to how you put the steps together. And I will say, folks, definitely go to Mixcloud and check that out. But you can also find the My Collection shows, which Scott did a ton of fantastic shows, you know, for months and months, was Sunday night. And now it's an afternoon. The Pollard Power Hour is on Sunday afternoon, right?
Yeah, correct. Sunday at 12 noon Eastern. I switched it. It just works better for my family life. You know,
yep.
Doing a 2-hour show on Sunday nights is pretty difficult.
Yes.
Especially when that was like the only night that I knew I was going to be home.
Yep.
To spend time with my family. So doing a 1-hour show from 12 to 1 Eastern. Anybody that watches football, it's a perfect pre-football playlist that you can just put on for an hour
totally.
While you're getting your wings, you know, cooked and getting all sauced up
and then you
can watch, making your picks. You can get all ready for NFL. And it's also a good soundtrack for the football, the
yes,
English Premier League. I usually have that on in the background when I'm the late Sunday game on in the background when I'm doing my show.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Now, I have one question, and I do want to tell people at this point, as we come near the end of this, as we start to create some of these episodes, I think, you know, we'll be pointing people back for an overview. Like if you're just jumping in here, you want to go back and listen to what we've done today. One of the questions I had, and I'm sure, you know, people will come up with questions. And if you do have questions, you can get in touch. What's the best place for someone to get in touch with you if they have sort of a question on the rules?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. That is at Scott Parks Valpo. I am on Facebook, but Twitter's just as easy. I mean,
yeah.
You can follow me there. You can DM me there. So at Scott Parks Valpo, V-A-L-P-O.
Okay, perfect. And one question I would ask do you think it's a step if a group covers a song written by somebody?
So that was, I'm still on the fence about that one.
Okay.
My thought is I'm probably going to use that at some point in the future.
Okay.
Based on the fact that there are some of these that are going to be nearly impossible to get.
Right.
Without using that as a step.
Right.
They didn't actually create the song together, which is where I am like kind of leaning towards not wanting to do it. But I probably will use that at some point, especially if it gets me there in five steps.
Right.
So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I kind of agree with you. And I think if it's, you know, the kind of the only way you could get somewhere and because I think it does, when you cover a certain group, it does express a certain aesthetic connection, right?
Well, and that's kind of why I'm on the fence.
Yes.
Is because it is still an artistic creation.
Yep.
That does involve the songwriter, the original band that made the song.
Yep.
Like, they specifically chose that song for a reason, because it means something
that's
to
it.
Them.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to put their own mark on it.
Yep.
But I'm going to attempt to use that as infrequently as possible, just because if I do that, we could probably find a lot of these in, you know, two steps.
Yeah.
Three steps, easy.
And I think it's similar to what you were saying about the label being a connection, because
yeah.
it's just so broad that it could open up a lot of things. But
I think the label, I think that's too broad.
Yeah.
I think covering someone's song is a personal enough decision from the artist making the cover. And I think that's enough for me to at least have that be in the conversation.
Yep.
Of a potential leak.
I totally agree. And, you know, I was thinking about this with the band Wingtip Sloat, and for a group that like never leaves the basement and never talks to anybody else, the cover may be the only way you could kind of link it up, you know, self-produced.
Yeah.
You know, and so in
sure.
that sense, sometimes that could be really key. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And again, I'm sure I'll use it at some point. Mm-hmm. I also have one that I've used where two artists were on the same record, the
oh.
same album, but they didn't actually play together.
Mm, interesting.
So I
could
my
see
head,
that if it was a compilation or something like that.
Yeah. So it was like, it's kind of like a compilation, but they weren't actually on the same song, but I kind of feel like at least they were on the same piece of music.
Yep.
The same physical release where they shared their creative vision with the person who was putting the album together.
There you go. Right.
And that is the link between those two. So,
yeah. And in many ways, that's kind of like a producer, right? If you're putting some together, that's your vision and you're trying to create it. Yeah.
It's my rules, so I guess I can, you know, and if we're going to do this together, we can kind of, you know, make them up as we go.
Right.
But
right.
I think it's just fun to dig into the, you know, the little tiny pieces of information that most people kind of ignore when it comes to music, especially in these days where no one really has, or very few people have, physical media.
Yep.
They're not looking to see who plays on a record. They're not looking
That's
who
it.
Played bass, who played drums on this, you know, particular artist's
right.
Record that, you know, for instance, again, first episode of 5 Degrees, I was able to go from Game Theory to Pollard in four steps, going through Alejandro Escovedo.
Wow.
Because John Moen played drums on Burn Something Beautiful, and John Moen is the drummer for Boston Spaceships.
Wow, amazing.
So you just have to kind of do a little digging, and it's amazing how many albums some people play on that you had no idea.
You know, and it's such a great point, too, about the physical media, because think about, you know, when you first started getting into it, you know, at least for me, I can remember spending all that time while the record was playing, pouring over the sleeve and, you know, all the way down to Kiss uses Gibson guitars and Pearl drums because they want the best, you know, but I never knew what a producer
right.
was or any of that guest star stuff or engineer or anything like that until
right.
you started doing it. And that's, for music fans, obsessives like us, that's
yeah.
kind of like the lifeblood in the veins that goes through. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So, you know, if anybody is interested in listening to that episode,
yeah.
go to Mixcloud, look up Rock in the Suburbs Radio and look for the Pollard Power Hour. I think that episode originally aired, it would have been, I can't remember, honestly. It's But so I don't know.
Yeah, but Mixcloud, search Rock in the Suburbs Radio, and everything will come up there, and then you can just bookmark that page, and all the new episodes show up, which is really nice. It can create yourself a little feed that way. And if anybody wants to suggest, we're gonna, I think, get one of these going really soon, and hopefully when you hear this, it might even be later this week when you'll hear one. But if anybody wants to suggest two artists to see challenge us, and when I say us, I mean Scott, to connect the two artists together, let us know. You can find us on social media at Suburbs Pod, and you can send an email, rock@suburbspod.com. You could even call the Suburban Party Line and leave a message,
612-440-1984.
That's it. Anything else, Scott, you want to add here before we
No, I don't think so. I don't know if we want to talk about the one that we have already started working on be episode one.
Yeah, why don't we drop a little teaser?
Oh, we'll drop a little teaser because of the amazing work that Mike Coley and Stephen Routledge did on Metallica Week. The first artist that I think we're going to tackle that Patrick brought to the table is Metallica.
Yeah.
And what we've done is we've each selected one band to try to get to Metallica from, and I selected for Patrick, I selected the Go-Betweens.
Yes.
And I think he started, his brain, you know, kind of started to fry a little bit thinking how do we get to Metallica from the Go-Betweens, but I was able to connect that. And then Patrick, you have me going to Metallica from the Dillinger Escape Plan,
yes,
which is a band that I had never listened to ever before. And I have successfully connected the Dillinger Escape Plan to Metallica. So this I think is going to be our first episode that we might release sometime in the near future.
That's right. And it should make for some very interesting songs played throughout the episode, too. So that's going to be cool. Starting off with the Go-Betweens and going all the way to Metallica will be great. And definitely want to say thanks again to Steven and Mike. They're such a great pairing. And man, I got to say, too, I stopped listening to Metallica at one point, and, you know, they went back and filled in a lot of stuff I didn't even know about. So that was really
right. Yeah. Well, and you'll be sure to hear some Lulu on this episode, most likely. So I know they panned that record pretty badly, but I was listening to it this morning, and I would agree with Steven that it's something that I would like, because I actually don't think it's as bad as as what most people say.
It definitely gets a bad rap, but as far as connections go, it's vitally important, I would think, Metallica. Yeah,
for sure.
It's the fulcrum, for sure. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. And thank you, Scott, for coming up with this cool idea. And we'll see where it takes off. It'd be great, you know, if others want to try it, too. It'd be really fun. So,
For sure.
Yep. Stay tuned for the debut of that concept. And thank you, Scott, for taking the time to kind of walk everybody through this.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Patrick.
All right. And as I said, you can find us out there on the socials, and just go to suburbspod.com. All the contact info is there, as well as the link to Suburbs Radio, which you should be listening to. It's a great radio station. Every night, every day, there's really good shows happening there. So with that, we will say adios, and we will talk to you guys soon. I am Patrick Foster, and with me has been
Scott Parks,
and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
I am not a normal human being.